All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
Guys, we have a code red.
You mean code red the hospital emergency alert, code red the computer worm, or code red the cherry-flavored soft drink from makers of Mountain Dew?
One ring to rule them all.
One ring to find them.
Oh, Jesus.
One ring to bring them all.
And in the darkness, bind them.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
Where's my super suit?
What?
You tell me when I saw this woman!
What about movies like Forbidden Planet, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Solaris? What about Logan's Run? Did you ever see that?
No, it's probably some dumb sports movie anyways.
Sports movie?
Okay, we gotta put a spotlight on this geek stuff, man.
What the fuck are you bitches babbling about?
We need to bring this to the mainstream, to the people.
Wow, this is even better than I imagined.
We have to show the world that it ain't just about comics and toys.
I have to possess this comic.
Hey, I tried to teach you how to handle comics in the sixth grade, but oh no, you wanted to play Little League instead.
Looks like a really rich fourth grader lives here.
Look at this place, man.
Go look, he's got a billion toys.
I have a Mego Isis action figure.
Mighty Isis.
We're not about dressing up as Green Lantern.
How often does one see a beloved fictional character come to life?
Every year at Comic-Con.
And hoping for that one day, that one fracking day, for Cylons to bring us down a possible space-age future shit.
That's exactly what it's about.
Oh, really? Yeah, the shit ain't gonna work.
Oh, man! I'm still geeking out about it!
All right, look. There's only one return, okay? And it ain't of the king, it's of the Jedi.
Looks like we got more Lucas hounds here to mock Roddenberry.
You'll have to excuse him. He's not down with the trilogy.
There's only one trilogy, you fucking morons.
Oh, Star Wars geek.
Oh, I'm the geek? Look at you two whipping out your preciouses.
I'm gonna kick your ass back to the Shire if you don't shut your fucking mouth.
Where are the stars in this piece of shit?
All right, guys, you have your mission. Go forth and wreak havoc.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
Come on, you fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics he can't fight? Shit! I'll fucking take all you want!
Luke continues to practice with his lightsaber against the remote. Remember, Luke. The Force doth smoothly flow within the feelings of a Jedi Knight.
But doth the Force control one's every move?
'Tis somewhat so. But also shall the Force obey thine every command, young Luke.
This Force, by troth, I'll never comprehend. It doth control and also doth obey. And 'tis within and yet it is beyond. 'Tis both inside and outside oneself. What paradox! What fickle-natured power! Aye, frailty, thy name, belike is Force. Alack! This small remote hath struck again.
Ha ha! Thy errant systems of belief, thy weapons ancient, all thy mysteries, the robes and meditations o'er the air, the superstitions e'en thy precious force, cannot compare to my religious true. A trusty blaster ever by my side, with thus I say my prayers and guard my soul.
Devoted follower must thou be with such a speech. Pray tell me, pilgrim reverent, dost thou most truly disbelieve the Force?
A pilgrim truly said, for I have gone from galaxy to galaxy and more, yet never hath this faithful worshipper found aught to recommend that strange belief, a single force that binds the universe. True, 'tis no power mystical controls Han Solo's yet unfinished destiny, and so I preach the one and only faith. My simple merry tricks are all my gods, and nonsense is the only testament I worship at the shrine of my own will.
A wise philosopher, if ever there was one. I'll warrant he hath character he hides. Now prithee, try again, and lay aside thy conscious self. Take thou this helmet thick, adorn thine eyes with silver shield opaque, and trust thine instincts only as thy guide.
But surely 'tis a jest, for with this shield I nothing now can see. How can I fight? I truly fight or walk, or even stand without one sight, but little can be done.
Nay, 'tis in blindness one doth truly see. For eyes deceive and sight is known to lie. Let feelings be thy sight, their guidance trust.
With mind unsure, Luke readies for the fight. The small remote doth dodge most suddenly. But with calm mind, Luke blocks its lasers bright. With inner eye, the Force has let him see.
Hurrah! Thou can do it.
'Tis luck no more.
Experience hath taught me much, dear man, and none of it hath shown me aught of luck.
To find success against a small remote is well and taketh skill, I do confess. To find success against a living soul, however, also taketh excellence.
Beep, 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 beep.
It seemeth we draweth near to Alderaan.
I did feel something, Obi-Wan, 'tis true. It seems I fixed my soul's eye on the remote.
Seems, young one? Nay, thou didst. Think thou not seems. Thou hast thy first step ta'en towards a world far greater than thou canst understand. And thus begins, if I have seen aright, his transformation into a Jedi Knight.
How was all that?
Welcometh, thine gentleman.
It was shutteth your mouth.
It was two wonderful performances.
That's it, sure. I am not. I don't pretend to be
a reader. You are not.
Listen. Recently, the most difficult book I've read recently is The Cat in the Hat. So
fair enough. And there were no apostrophes and missing consonants.
That's right.
It's not in the.
Yeah, exactly. Like
yeah.
That was a lot of drivel and nonsense.
Ian.
Kind of like Shakespeare.
I do stuff behind the scenes.
Uh-huh.
Not in the scenes.
Uh-huh. You know what I'm saying? There you go. I got you. Very well put.
I build the sets.
Yeah, I got you.
I That's paint true. The Navajo sunset.
That's true.
Right?
There you go. Three people in the world just laugh their asses off.
We had excellent set design for this.
Oh, sure we did.
Yeah, this piece was great.
Well, the studio is looking something.
Do you know OG the Amish used to...
guess what? You know how I feel about the Amish. Isn't there a new show on TV? Fuck Amish. Is that Breaking Amish?
Is it really?
Thing?
Breaking Fuck Amish.
Yeah, isn't that it?
I don't think that's the same thing.
I think that's the same thing.
Wow.
I don't think that's the show at all.
Oh, okay. I think that might be the show.
Mm.
Well, with all of that being said.
Yes.
We're back.
We are.
After a week hiatus for me, 2 weeks.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
But...
not for us.
But it's good to be back.
Yeah, me and Scapegoat did a show to spite you because you said that we wouldn't.
Which is fine. I applaud both of your efforts, despite a few hiccups here and there. Yeah. You did a wonderful job.
Do you want to just get it out of the way? Well, let's open by saying this is Big Kev's Geek
Sure.
Stuff. Episode 296.
296, that's correct.
Thank God I got that right.
On the road to 300.
On the road to 300.
That's true. And we're calling this one our annual Too Darn Hot episode.
It's a little toasty.
It is fucking hot.
A little toasty in
it
studio,
is,
whatever.
If I may, in the Shakespeare, it is fucking hot.
Yeah, I would concur.
Ken.
Yeah, it's warm.
Yes, yeah, a little warm.
Thank you, Scapegoat.
Thank you.
So, unfortunately, we couldn't open using the Too Darn Hot music
that's right.
We normally use. So probably we'll throw that in at the close of the session so people can enjoy it.
It'll be somewhere.
Yeah, somewhere.
Somewhere.
Buried.
We'll pepper it in.
And, of course, we always do at least one of these a year. I recognize we may be jumping the gun by doing the Too Darn Hot episode early in July.
I think we've done more than one in years past. It happens.
We?
Yeah.
We just stuck
Too
to
Darn
like
Hot me. Again. Still too darn hot. Yeah.
I don't know.
Wow.
I don't know that we've done
it's
those.
It's like a Friday the 13th sequel.
It is.
I still know what you did last summer.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yes, I switched.
You still haven't turned the AC on. Exactly. It's,
right.
Gotcha.
You've done it.
Yeah, I gotcha.
So, you know.
I'm good.
It's July. It's fair enough to do a Too Darn Hot episode.
Without further ado,
yes.
Since I understand that you had some notes.
Well, you know, there were a couple
Scapegoat
things.
And my effort on doing the...
Overall, you guys did a fine job.
Okay.
Cool. I mean, it's terrible that I had to spend 3 or 4 days in what I'm considering a PR nightmare on Twitter answering questions akin to, where is the new episode?
I
like to have it every Thursday morning with my breakfast and coffee.
Okay. This one goes directly to Big Kevin.
Yeah, no, that's
I understand
me.
It takes a little, you haven't done it in a while.
Yep, I was a little
rusty.
You
did a much better job than I did or however you feel, and that's fine. That's fine.
I didn't say that. Did I say that?
No, I'm just assuming that you might say that. That perhaps you spent more time on it.
Say
it.
There you go.
Now, listen. For the longtime listeners, If once you realize that OG was out of that mix,
that's right.
You should have recognized the fact that you were likely not getting it Thursday morning.
No,
that should have been fairly obvious right from the get go.
Wait. You're blaming the listeners for delivering a product?
No. I'm saying the longtime listeners. If this person or persons,
they should have expected.
I like that for Thursday morning. Yeah. They knew I was editing it because I said it during the show last week. Then they should know.
But that's almost like the postal service calling and saying, like, yeah, but you know we're unreliable, so clearly we're not going to get your package there when we said we would.
Yeah, that's akin, I suppose. But the point is that yes, that is all my fault. I was a little rusty. I did fall asleep while editing it.
It happens
on the taping evening.
It happens.
I wasn't able to finish it until the next day. So yeah. Yeah, that's not. I take that one.
And although I would like to blame you or question you perhaps in asking who exactly is David Sedaris, because I don't know.
Yes.
Now I was waiting for Jason David Sudeikis? Strathairn.
No. Yes.
Who you got right in the photos? I might add. So I'm not sure how you found his
I know.
Photo.
So here's
searching
what I,
David
so,
Sedaris.
So here's what I did. I'm listening to it. I'm listening to
did
my
Google,
staunch.
Google suggest.
I'm listening to my staunch advocation of David Sedaris as Doctor Strange as I'm editing, and I'm like, oh no, I just set myself up to get shot in the face. And so I put the picture in, so at least people would go, well, at least he got the picture right.
Right.
I don't even know. David Sedaris is like a writer or
for NPR or something, isn't he?
Is that what he is?
He's something.
Scapegoat?
He
is a person. He exists.
Yes.
He does exist.
He's just not Doctor Strange.
No, who I meant was David Strathairn.
Yes.
Who I've said probably for the last decade that if they're going to do a Doctor Strange character in film, it had better be him.
Absolutely.
David Sedaris could play him. I mean, he could write a really good essay.
Yay.
On
all
screen.
Right. Okay, good. You know, yep.
He could write a book of magic.
Hey, they can have an NPR episode
in the moment,
he can read.
In the moment, I accept responsibility.
But listen, I don't want you to think, Big Kev, that you're the only one.
Oh, no, I didn't think
that,
I was.
That
no.
Perhaps made a mistake.
Okay.
I mean, I put my faith in both of you guys, and to a certain degree, Scapegoat a little bit more, being the new kid on the block, thinking that perhaps he's eager to learn and
producer,
stay on top of things, and
perhaps
he's paying attention to the things that I painstakingly post on the website and using those as fact-checking, like when you said John C. Reilly was going to play Ronan the Accuser, which is not even remotely correct. And it was on our own site that he's playing Roman Day, leader of the Nova Corps. But it's okay.
You're right.
I forgive you
You're
for
right.
not checking your facts.
I apologize.
It happens.
Wow.
Truthfully?
Really, Scapegoat?
I want to point out.
I think that's a pretty important fuck up,
No,
Scapegoat.
That is, you're right. Although you're trying to put all the blame on me now. I'd like to point
really?
Out.
Really? On Scapegoat? Article, I'm trying to put all the blame
I see
on
what you
the Scapegoat?
There. It's almost titular blame. No, but the article that I was reading... That's what it said.
Oh, well, that article is
that
fubar.
Article is
we
fubar.
No longer use
well,
that source.
That source is
was
gone.
A Latino review.
can I say this?
Latino review.
Can we take 1 second and talk about this? Is he playing a voice of a character who's the head of the Nova Corps? Because I don't remember any doughy, afro-wearing, middle-aged guys being the head of Nova Corps.
Look, we're not,
so.
I have nothing to say about whether or not he was cast appropriately or not.
Wow.
Just saying that perhaps
that harkens back to
the right
Jack
things.
Black as Green Lantern sort of casting rumors.
Wow.
No, that was a thing at one time.
Wow.
And then, of course, there might be a few others, but one that,
No. Bring them on.
But I apologize.
We do have sponsors on the show.
No
right?
longer using that source.
You both know we have sponsors
the producer,
on the show.
I'm laying this on the producer.
No, sir. I tried
and you,
to.
And you
talk
both
about
know
a sponsor.
That the sponsors, they pay for advertising slots. So when a conversation breaks out and Scapegoat's like, hey, how about the sponsors? And he starts to talk about it. And then you kind of run them over. And then you never actually get back to the sponsors, or you get back to only one of two sponsors.
Wow.
You know, Suburban Vinyl.
I tried.
They're a very good sponsor
on
this show.
Can I just say this
They've
in my own
defense? They've got a coupon code for us this week.
Can I just say something in my own defense?
Sure.
Scapegoat is the producer of this program. If there were advertising spots that we were supposed to read, as you well know, OG, it is the responsibility of the producer to make
just
sure
to
that
clear,
those spots get done.
Did I not say our sponsor is Suburban Vinyl? And you go, yeah, we'll get to it.
Did you refocus us back onto the sponsors?
All right. So you, what you're saying is I should try to make you stop talking.
Fuck.
That's what I'm trying to
say.
All I'm saying is that none of us in this room are flawless.
So I'm just going to mention Suburban Vinyl.
As the last two episodes clearly show.
The end of every sentence this week will be brought to you by Suburban Vinyl.
Right. But it was an excellent show overall. And I'm sorry that I could not be here.
No, I appreciate that.
Did you like the Firefly bit?
I did like the bit. It made me chuckle. Just a little bit. It made me chuckle.
Which bit?
Like, I'm not saying it.
Trying to drag him into the bit again.
You know
what bit we almost ran? No, I want to say it because we're gonna do it.
Yeah, let's save it. Save it. Who knows? You might get a two for next week. I'm just saying it's possibility.
Longtime listeners may remember, and that's where I stand.
Right. Oh God.
There you go.
Christmas.
Ooh. Or how about It's News to Me, featuring. No, I can't do that.
No, cannot do that.
That wasn't my bit. That was Fantastic's bit.
That was Fantastic's bit. But let's move on with the show.
Yes, sir.
We have some trailers, right? Is this?
Yeah, correct? There's two.
There's three, kind of. Let's we should talk about GTA, right? Some. That's a trailer.
Oh, okay, fair enough. I wasn't.
I know you were thinking movies only.
Get ourselves a snack.
When he's done, we can move on with the show.
All right,
I'm done.
No, GTA.
We need that music to introduce the trailer segment. All right, we need a trailer stinger.
We need a stinger.
We got to contact
that person. No longer works for the company that I produced understand. The stinger.
So we can
us.
Get another.
All right,
fucking person.
We'll figure it out.
He's got some pull.
We'll work it out. GTA.
Yeah, GTA 5.
So now this was big, other than the fact that it looked awesome. Am I correct in saying that this is one of the first times that they've actually showed
actual gameplay this early?
They've shown in-game engine cutscene-y footage stuff, but yeah, it's the first time you actually see someone running
around. Gameplay. Right. Okay. Yeah, so it looks awesome.
I don't know how they fit this whole thing on a disc.
Yeah.
I don't know how. I think this is a great bookend to this generation of consoles.
It's always on, right? Isn't that the thing? You have to be connected to the internet in order to.
No, that's not. That doesn't exist anymore. They've gone back on that. Remember? That doesn't exist anymore. But no, it's great. Yes, it's going to be annoying that I'm going to have my 360 sandwiched underneath my PS4 and/or Xbox One. But it looks like an amazing send off. I mean, that's an insane amount of stuff to do. It's a huge, huge game world. It looks like an awesome story. Switching between characters, it pretty much has everything you'd want in an open world game when you're bored with open world games because it seems like everyone's done it perfectly. Rockstar is going to be like, no, wait, there's more. No.
Yeah.
I did not do a voice for this one.
Even at the end of the trailer, it's like, oh, and by the way, there's Grand Theft Auto Online. We'll talk to you about that soon. Wait a minute. Okay, here's a gigantic world the size of Southern California.
Right.
Oh, and by the way, there's more.
There's more.
What? Online play? Can you imagine what that might be like?
GTA 4 had online play.
I know, but it was terrible.
Well, I've heard good things.
I'm waiting for the GTA MMO.
That's what it sounds like this is.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, and you can't appreciate this so much, but you can.
Sure.
What was their last game that had terrific?
You liked Red Dead.
Red Dead. Yeah.
They're going to do the Red Dead model of multiplayer.
They could.
It would be pretty
GTA
epic.
Universe.
It's possible.
I would never leave home.
it looks like a great game. I'm really excited. PS3 and Xbox 360. So when you get the new next generation consoles, too bad you'll still be playing this game.
But by then they'll be working on the next one.
I thought the trailer was going to have humor. You know, because Rockstar does that. I was hoping it would be humorous, but it was literally just like, we're going to show you some stuff.
Yeah. Nobody funny works at Rockstar.
No.
Have you ever listened to that talk radio station in the game?
Have you?
Yeah.
We know all those guys.
we know a lot of those guys, don't we? I think it looked great. I mean, I think it's actually going to deliver. I don't think it's going to disappoint. I don't think it's being overhyped. I think it's probably going to be true to the course.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's good.
I think it's going to be pretty amazing.
They always have really great story.
I didn't care about the story.
I'm excited about that. And I totally want to fly a jet plane while and then dive out, play some golf, switch to a different character, cook some meth in my trailer.
Go to a strip club.
Very excited. Yeah, let's do it.
You know what I think is really interesting about the conversation that we're having?
Wow.
All the GTA games, I've played a majority of the storyline of the games.
Sure.
It was never the most fun part of the game for me.
It was always the free run.
With Red Dead. It was always the free run stuff. It was always, I can go anywhere and do anything. And if I have to play the story part of the game in order to open up those other areas and stuff so that I can just free roam in there, that is the motivation to play the open part.
Who hasn't spent an afternoon clubbing hookers and taking the money back? Who hasn't done that?
In a video game. I just want to be very clear.
In a video game.
This section sponsored by Suburban Final.
Wow. who Who hasn't spent an entire day trying to get two hookers in the car and then sink the car with the two hookers in it? Who hasn't done that?
Wow. Fun times, fun times.
Me, I was just collecting pigeons.
Yeah.
Three of you know what I'm talking about.
All right. So what other trailers hit?
We had Seventh Son.
Right, which I don't really give two
Jeff Bridges and
about.
Who gives a shit. And it's a fantasy movie. And look, CG dragons. And people like Game of Thrones. So I guess we can milk that for more fantasy
stuff. For a little
bit
more,
right?
Really? I thought it was Rooster Cogburn in the medieval setting this time. Rather than the undead or western setting.
Jeff Bridges, or Master Gregory, is a knight who had imprisoned the malevolently powerful witch Mother Malkin, played by Julianne Moore, centuries ago. But she's escaped and is seeking vengeance.
I'm already asleep.
Yeah, I know. I'm already changing the channel.
It's
every fantasy book you've never wanted to read.
Right.
In this a movie. Is apparently now, from it, a vis- series of books.
Yeah, Seventh Son. I've never heard of them. Yeah, it looks visually cool. Sure. I mean, I'll see it on HBO when it comes out.
What doesn't look visual? If you have a movie now like this that doesn't look visually cool,
then you're failing.
You're right. You're totally right. Because the story's amazing. Oh wait, no, that can't.
Can I just say one word to you?
Sure.
Twister. Thank you.
You're right.
Fair enough.
Visually cool.
That was about it.
Jeez. I always go to
Finger
Twister.
Of God.
The first really great looking movie that sucked a dick. So
the end of the world as we know it.
And last but not least,
Old Boy. Now listen.
Now, I'm not a huge fan of the original. I mean, I've seen it. I know.
I'm a fan of the original.
I really liked the original. That movie, I had no idea what was going down. Someone handed it to me and said, make sure you have dumplings, a hammer.
And a squid.
And a live squid or octopus, I believe. That's all I knew. And I watched that movie. Holy shit. When you have no preparation, that movie is absolutely mind-fucking wow. And this movie is the exact same thing because it's literally a shot-for-shot remake, at least from the trailer.
Okay. And is that a good thing or a bad thing?
I really don't know.
I'm kind of surprised that Spike Lee hasn't made it his own.
Yeah.
From the trailer, it doesn't look
Well, you know, the truth is this trailer could be the misleading, like, it's the old boy you remember, and then there's a twists all
and
over the place that we don't know about.
And these particular scenes happen to be mimicked.
And this is all.
Mimicked,
yeah,
and that's
these are
it.
The only things that are mimicked. Well,
he is his own wife.
The rest of it has Avatar aliens.
Exactly.
I mean, honestly, I'd like to see a twist on it.
Right.
You know, I know that Americans apparently don't read subtitles because they're lazy.
Right.
But if they did, just go watch the original. It's great. He just, the original director of that just directed a new movie.
I think it's on Netflix even. I don't think it's very hard to come by. Yeah.
No, you can go get it. It's really good. I mean, it's a really messed up
I have
movie.
It on DVD somewhere.
You should watch it. You should check it out. But at least from this trailer, it looks like it's the same thing in English. Although my guess is if Spike Lee's doing it,
there's
got to
be something
some twist down the road that we'll find out when we watch it.
Fair enough.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
All right, let's move into shitty things this week.
Shitty things.
Electro, our first look of Electro.
Don't we need like a news stinger thing?
Geek stuff. What's in the news?
Are we already in the news?
I think
stinger?
We're already in the news.
Since we didn't have the trailer stinger for this week, we're already in the news.
I did.
This is the news.
But I did.
You sung a bit. That's not official.
News.
We'll get something official.
Okay.
By 300. That's our target. Episode 300 gives us 3 weeks.
No, it's 4 weeks.
It's 3 weeks. 97, 98, 90. Oh, yeah. Yeah, four.
300.
Well,
four
four.
I was really.
It's three more shows prior to the fourth show.
I said it's 4 more weeks.
Yeah.
And totally, when you said, no, it's 3 weeks, I was like, fuck, he's right. Yeah. And then I was like, wait a minute. And then you count off. I'm like, no, I'm right.
Well, it's three more weeks and then the
fair enough.
And Electro.
According to rumor, lots of things happening then.
I don't believe any of it.
Okay. I'm just saying.
Electro.
Yep.
Yeah.
Looks exactly like he looked in the other image that we saw of him, except without the hoodie.
The one that we said, like, oh, I hope it's different because, you know, they
we hope this
do
is
stuff
like
in
makeup.
Post.
Yeah. Apparently, the only thing they did in post was change his outfit.
They made him
brighter.
You know
what he kind of looks like? You ever see Beneath the Planet of the Apes?
Yes.
When they find the humanoids who prey to the bomb,
take
off their skin.
Yeah.
He kind of looks like a blue version of one of them.
He kind of looks like Ultimate Electro when he first gets electrocuted. Like he's all blue with lines and shit running through his body, and then he kind of calms down and becomes yellow with electricity coming out of his eyes. So he's kind of like that, but like shit is really what he looks like.
He looks a little bit like Dr. Manhattan.
Yeah.
Beaten with a club.
He looks a little bit like Mr. Freeze, kind of. I mean, he looks a little bit like a lot of things.
Eh.
And Turd is one of them. It just so happens. So there it is.
Where's his green jumper and his big star
sparkling
head
blue turd.
Appendage?
Not going to happen.
head appendage.
All right, let's talk about Guardians of the Galaxy, since we kind of mentioned that earlier.
Guardians of the Galaxy.
We have some confirmation now on the villains.
I got a new piece of news today myself.
Okay.
John C. Reilly is not playing
Ronan the Accuser.
Ronan the Accuser, despite what we reported last week.
That's crazy.
No, because Lee Pace, who we heard was cast in the movie but didn't know who he was going to be,
Lee Pace?
Is sure. going to be Ronan the Accuser.
There you go.
Scapegoat Lee Pace, please.
Lee Pace. There you go.
Who is that?
It is this guy. He's actually in
pictures.
He's actually in The Hobbit.
What? Is he one of them?
Yes, he's
he's going to be in the
Who is he?
He's an elf, isn't he?
Thranduil.
Oh, really?
Thranduil?
That's who he is?
I can never pronounce his name. I couldn't pronounce it last week either.
Thranduil. An elf.
Benicio del Toro will be playing the Collector.
Okay.
Now, I'm not familiar, but he's like...
You know who the Collector is?
No.
He's the Collector.
but I don't know who he is in the Marvel Universe.
Worst title ever.
I know that he's like a long-standing villain. I just don't entirely know who he is.
Behold the Collector's mint packaging.
But the most interesting one is Karen Gillan.
Yeah.
Will be playing Nebula, which is Thanos' granddaughter, the space pirate Nebula. You'd know her. She's purple with blue hair.
Hold on. Nebula?
Yes.
Scapegoat? Stop drooling over Lee Pace for a second and give me some pictures.
He was in Lincoln, apparently, so I was trying to see where that is. Nebula.
We saw that.
Yeah. Thanos' daughter. Purple girl, blue hair.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I remember her.
Yeah. You remember. As soon as you see her, you're like, oh, yeah, I remember her.
Okay.
So that's who she's playing. And that looks to be your villains for the film.
They're going to color her hair?
Yeah. You know, just because she has red hair doesn't mean she always has to have red hair.
What? I'm saying a change is happening.
It's going to be confusing when she plays
Mary Jane. It's this thing called a wig. Yeah.
She has red hair in the movie. I'm saying it now.
I don't know. If they're actually going to make her Thanos' granddaughter, I think they're going to stick with the blue and purples.
Yeah, probably.
For her suit.
Maybe. And this, what is this going to lead? I mean, it sounds like it perfectly fits in the Avengers.
Well, I mean, look, Thanos is the big bad.
Yeah.
You introduce his granddaughter.
Not in this movie, no.
Right. In this movie, you have perfect three villains, which we've just named.
Yep.
But... It'll be her tie-in to the rest of the universe.
Right, exactly.
She'll be the one that continues on past Guardians.
Yep.
Or something along those lines.
Exactly.
Right.
Or she'll be the reason that Thanos is madder than he already is. They'll kill her off or some nonsense.
Yep.
Do you think that there's any chance that they can get her naked?
I don't think that's going to happen.
All right, I'm just
saying. It's not going to happen in a PG-13 summer blockbuster.
Well, we can get some side action.
Let's talk about Orson Scott Card.
Oh,
okay. God.
Orson Hater. Scott Card is asking you to be tolerant about his intolerance.
Really?
Have you read this?
Christians are the most persecuted group in America.
I'm gonna read his exact quote.
Yep.
Ender's Game is set more than a century in the future and has nothing to do with the political issues that did not exist when this book was written in 1984. With the recent Supreme Court ruling, the gay marriage issue becomes moot. The full faith and credit clause of the Constitution will sooner or later give legal force in every state to any marriage contract recognized by any other state. Now, it will be interesting to see whether the victorious proponents of gay marriage will show tolerance toward those who disgraced or who disagreed with them when the issue was still in dispute.
Hold on. Are we about to talk about politics on the show?
No.
No.
No. We are not. We're just simply saying...
This is Orson Scott Card throwing out a bunch of words that don't really mean very much to cover his own ass so people go see his movie.
He's saying...
So that they can make another movie.
I want you to forgive the fact that I'm a douchebag. Go see my movie. That's what he's saying.
Yeah.
We talked about this.
The only reason I brought this up is because we talked about this on the show prior.
I have to donate whatever the ticket price is to...
Right.
Another organization that's nice to people.
Right, right,
you know,
right.
That.
I see it in the theater, though.
It looks really good.
I'm just going to donate
maybe double the ticket.
I am going to say that I still want to see the movie, despite the fact that he's an epic douche.
I know. I want
right.
to see it.
It sucks
that he's a douche, but...
We can't do that. We saw Hellboy. That guy's an epic douche. So, like, we clearly can't.
Right.
Can I say this, though?
Sure.
I'm not looking forward to seeing the... Alzheimer's stricken Harrison Ford in that movie, though.
It does look a little rough.
Yeah.
It does look a little rough.
It terrifies me about Star Wars.
Let's talk about...
Did you see that trailer? He was like, it came for our juice.
That's rough.
They wanted my walker.
Let's talk
aliens
about
aliens from Mexico and blah blah blah.
Let's
was
talk
he
about
Mel Gibson suddenly.
Vin Diesel.
Vin Diesel.
Can we talk about Vin Diesel?
Sure. Yeah, he had a meeting, right?
He's had two meetings now.
Many meetings
with Marvel.
More than one. More than one. Uh-oh.
And he is definitely playing somebody, but we don't know who.
Deadpool.
Now the speculation is the speculation actually is Vision.
What?
Yeah.
No way.
That's rumor. Is that he'll be playing Vision.
That Mook is going to play Vision? I can't see that at all.
Hey, listen.
What? Mook?
Listen, as far
Mook
as...
Mook is not a racial
as far
thing.
As Vin Diesel's, no, as far isn't. As Vin Diesel's ability to deliver a somewhat emotionless, robotic voice...
Fine.
He's fine.
Vision isn't... wasn't a robotic voice delivery
No, but
guy.
He was a bit emotionless and...
He was Data.
Yeah, okay. So a bit... You know, he
no.
was... He
no Vin
he
Diesel.
Was fine as the Iron Giant.
No.
That's all I'm saying.
Oh yeah. Oh god. Yeah, that's tough. No, I'm sorry. I can't. It can't be Vision. It's got to be some brawler. It can't be Vision.
No, I think it's gonna be Vision.
No way.
I don't actually think. I think that's all rumor and speculation. But I think it's interesting that he's had a meeting with Marvel and that he'll be in
more
some
than
way,
one.
Shape,
Deadpool. Too. I can see.
No, Ryan Reynolds is still gonna be Deadpool if that ever happens.
Ryan Reynolds, I think, talked about recently how much he hates.
He doesn't hate the idea of playing Deadpool. What he hates is the up and down roller coaster that is Deadpool. As far as he's concerned, he wants to do it. Just no one will greenlight it. That's the problem.
Got it.
Thank you, Green Lantern.
Well, you know, it's funny that you should mention Green Lantern. That brings us into our next
one.
Is it Henry Cavill said no Justice League movie?
No. It's that. No, it's that. That Fox is developing.
Found out last week.
Fox is developing a League of Extraordinary Gentlemen pilot.
Great.
As a TV series?
As a TV series. Because
that movie was so good.
And it's being produced.
Sarcasm.
It's being written and produced by the writer of Green Lantern, Michael Green.
Oh.
There's tying.
Those are two things there's that are tying. Terrible putting together. All right.
So League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, the movie, I think is very underrated. A lot of people didn't like it. I happen to enjoy it.
I did too.
League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, the book. Excellent book.
Excellent book.
Totally.
Alan Moore right now is spitting and cursing and doing incantations in his castle.
Yep. Just like every, the fuck just like is. Every other thing they ever do. About
that he
Alan Moore.
That, that right. Mm-hmm.
Well, it worked for the movie.
Right. Here's my thoughts. I think that this is an interesting property to develop, and not in a good way, mind you. I don't think that this is a great property to develop for TV.
I think it's a great property for TV. You know why? Because it doesn't have to be one league. You know, in the book, there are other leagues.
Sure. There are multiple characters that
through
develop.
The ages.
Right.
I mean, the possibilities of taking those literary characters and putting them, and smashing them together the way they did. Now, let's leave the movie aside for
right.
a second.
Absolutely.
We know the movie
let's,
was
let's
nothing
let's just go
like
to the book.
The book.
Sure.
If they just stuck with the book and
right.
did those literary characters and didn't think, we got to stick an American in here. Let's put
right.
Buffalo Bill, or not Buffalo
was
Bill. It was Billy the Kid.
Billy, right.
You know, if they were like, if they put that nonsense aside and just did it like the book, the possibilities are fabulous.
Yeah. All they need to find is, you know, a better person to develop it.
I don't know. I just, I think that. It's, you know what it is? I think because I'm reading it and the stories that I've been reading about it, it's kind of like, well, Fox is trying to find an answer to ABC's The Shield, right? That's what, so I'm thinking to myself, is this really the answer to The Shield? And my brain is saying, no, the answer to The Shield is to take another property that Fox has and is very successful with and figure out a way to bring a spinoff of it to TV, like the X franchise.
Yeah.
There's like, got to be an X show like,
so
that you
like,
could bring to TV.
Like Xavier School for Gifted
exactly.
Youngsters. That would work.
So maybe it's not that it's a bad idea if it's done well, but as a response to S.H.I.E.L.D., it's the wrong choice.
Yeah, but how is it going to be done well by this guy? I know we're
oh, well,
this.
No.
This guy wrote Everwood and everything shitty about Heroes. Then he did the show Kings. Do you
right.
remember Kings?
I no. don't.
Exactly.
But, right.
And I mean, come on.
Look, they've picked the worst possible person
and
to
develop it. And
apparently
he's writing The Flash.
Yeah. Okay. So
the
they've
movie?
Yep.
they've picked the worst well, possible. That's got to be old news. That's got to be.
I hope so.
That's got to be when they were still hoping Green Lantern was going to be a success and they were going to carry him over.
That project. I think.
I just don't think League is the right choice for Fox as an answer to The Shield. I think you have a very viable franchise in the X-Men films.
Totally.
And that's the way you should be going.
They're doing so much X-Men. So much.
Yeah,
why?
They're
so
doing
much?
Days of Future. They're doing Wolverine. They have.
That's
they're gonna,
two.
They're
yeah,
planning
but,
on doing
okay,
additional
but,
X.
All right.
That's
after. All right.
So?
Now, stop. Now stop. Let me point counterpoint, because I know he's probably thinking the same thing I am. They did Thor, Iron Man, Iron Man 2, Iron Man 3, Captain America, Thor the Avengers, Thor 2.
So?
And the answer to that was S.H.I.E.L.D. So you have X-Men and X-Men Days of Future Past.
And Wolverine.
That's not a lot of X-Men to develop.
They're doing the Wolverine. They're planning on doing two sequels to whatever Days of Future Past is.
But my point is,
and we don't know what the
end is. But my point is, Marvel, ABC, and Disney has six movies and a TV show.
Yeah.
Fox has four or five movies and no TV show.
You need more stuff. I thought about doing, I think an X-Men TV series would be amazing.
Yeah, however you want to spin it, whatever it would be.
But the budget for that is astronomical. Like, how are you going to do that?
How are they going to do?
Well, but they did. Look, sci-fi shows on network television is not an odd thing right now.
Yes, but if you look at the shows, they're not. I mean, the X-Men immediately requires a budget. Immediately.
They all require a budget.
As soon as the power is anything beyond like super speed, you need a budget to do it. To make it not look like crap. We're talking about like Under like the Fox Dome and all these shows that are coming out.
We're not even mentioning.
No, I'm not. I'm not talking about it. I'm just saying you're talking about this sci-fi mystery stuff is coming in because people are accustomed to it ever since Lost, and then they did all the other shows, and BSG
was... You gotta be kidding me.
But I'm saying you need a budget to do X-Men.
The show with one of the largest budgets on TV is Defiance.
But it's sci-fi.
Not the point. The point is that it has a budget.
But it's the sci-fi network.
All right. Now,
thank
this
you.
Is,
that's you're making my point. But this if is sci-fi right, but can pony gonna, up all that money but, to do Defiance, Fox, who certainly has more money than sci-fi, can pony up money to do an X-Men TV show.
Right, and what I'm saying is they'd have to do it. It would have to have a budget in order to make it not crap.
Okay, but so S.H.I.E.L.D. we know isn't going to have any of the Avengers in it, but it's going to have superpowers and super beings in it.
Right, but it's centered around S.H.I.E.L.D., the agency, which could have a lot of non-superpowered people. You're discovering them slowly, which could be the X-Men show also. I guess it's clear. X-Men's a huge universe. It depends what angle they take. But as soon as you meet, and you're probably right, you're not going to touch the main team because they're going to leave that for the movies and say it's sort of the same universe and whatever. But as soon as throwing spikes out of your arm has to not look like crap, that requires a budget. That's all I'm saying.
Now, I know that this show is a little bit older, but let's go back to something else that Fox had for a while. Buffy, right? Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Sure.
Like it or hate it, whatever it was.
Yeah.
They had a lot of weird looking dudes and a lot of strange effects on that show, and they pulled it off. Now, I know the budget then might be different than the budget now, and it's a different world, but I'm just saying.
But it's not the same. Buffy was... had characters tongue in cheek. It had a humor that everyone was fine with.
Right.
If we're going to do a darker X-Men like series that you want everyone to watch,
that is because not it has what
to
the whole,
but it has
is.
To do with but drama. But you're going to keep it a little bit light so that everyone else watches it. There's the only direction you can go to make X-Men want to watch is either dark or not.
You could kind of do like a Gen X book and keep it a little bit light.
Yeah.
And the oddest character you have is Dupe.
If you include him. Yeah.
But if not, a lot of the characters in Gen X weren't crazy looking.
Chamber.
Yeah, I mean, but again, you know, it's, I mean, I don't know.
It's the X-Men universe. They can pick and choose.
No, I think they can do an awesome show. I think there could be an amazing X-Men TV show. I just hope that if they decide to do it, they do it right and don't say, shit, we need an X-Men TV show. That's all I'm saying.
I hear you.
Well, they're going to push ahead with League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, so we don't have to worry about it.
They're ordering a pilot. Let's see if it actually goes anywhere.
That's true. The TV process, they pitch 90 pilot. They pitch 90 pilots all the time. They greenlight a pilot. Then out of those
Wonder Woman?
Yeah, out of those pilots.
Exactly.
Barely any of them get greenlit, you know, to be a TV series. So we'll see what happens.
All right, let's talk about two more things real quick.
Let's do it.
And I'm actually going to ask you, Scapegoat, while I'm talking about the first thing, to pull up a link off of our site. It's the post about...
Where can you find our site?
BigKevsGeekStuff.com.
Oh, that's fantastic.
If you go to the comics section, there is a post there.
There's just so much content here.
Seven or eight stories a day about the Amazon... branch of comic books.
Jet City.
Now, before we talk about that, something you guys didn't talk about last week, and I really thought you were going to, only because you really happen to be a huge fan of Archaea.
Yeah.
Did you hear Archaea and Boom merged?
Archaea?
Isn't it Archaea? I think it's Archaea. Is it Arcana or is it Archaea? No, it's Archaea.
If it's Arcana, that's different.
Boom and Archaea merged.
I didn't know that.
Yes, they are now one company.
Called?
I don't know.
Barkaya.
I don't know if they're just taking on Boom, if they're just going to stick with Boom. I don't know if they've picked a new name, But they have merged.
I did not hear
that. Or perhaps they're going to continue to print under separate names, but they're one whole company.
That's interesting.
Much like DC and Vertigo
kind of thing.
Image and Wildstorm back in the day.
I'll write our man Mel over at Archaea and see what he says.
All right. Now, that being said, the big comic book news this week was Amazon Publishing has announced their own comic book publishing branch.
Jet City.
And Jet City is the name. And they're doing it based on, the first run is based on stories. Like, they're taking prose and adapting them to graphic novel format.
Sort of.
One of them, the biggest one probably, is George R.R. Martin. It's a prequel to A Song of Ice and Fire.
Called The Hedge Knight.
Called The Hedge Knight, which is pretty significant.
Wasn't that out already?
The book might have been published, but now, remember, this is being...
Right, I got it.
Turned into a comic book now. What I liked about this, or what I like about they're doing, is they're doing it digitally, and then they're doing it print, both, which is interesting for Amazon, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Although it's going to be exclusive to Kindle at least at launch, so that's a little bit. Although you can get Kindle on any
Kindle smart device,
so you wouldn't have a hard time accessing it. And they've got, what, 5 or 6 titles planned, I think.
Wait, do they have an official? No, it says there's a Comic Symposium 1. It's an original four-world comic.
Right.
Neil Stevenson, Greg Bear, Mark Tepe. Wow.
But you have...
How did they get all these people?
But in October money. In October and November of 2013.
Yes.
October is the man, the other George R.
Meat House Man.
And then the Song of Ice and Fire prequel is in November.
Yep.
And then in 2014, they have... The Symposium, and they have, there's a fourth one, too, I think, that they mentioned.
Meat House Man sounds like homoerotic porn.
But I don't know. I just think it's big. This is akin to Netflix creating its own content. Is that Amazon creating its own content in a lot of ways? And you know, if I wonder if Amazon starts to take on more independent people at some point in time, much like they do with Kindle publishing, will you now be able to, at some point, publish your own content? And make it available for Kindle, much like you could publish a book now on Amazon.
That'd be pretty cool.
And make it available on Kindle. I think it opens up a whole big world to comics creators. And I think it's significant and interesting. So we'll see how that develops. We'll see if anything else comes out of San Diego.
Interesting. Speaking of digital comics.
Yes. Oh, yes. You have something. And then I have one other thing.
Image.
Yes.
Comics. I get my comics digitally most of the time.
Right.
You know, if you have Marvel app, DC, Comixology, basically you are buying the rights to read it.
Right. Which is the one thing that really pisses me off.
Right. So you're renting the ability to read it. And if whenever they decide, or if their server goes down or whatever, too bad, it's gone.
At a not discounted price, I might add.
Yes. It's the same price. So Image has kind of recognized this and said, you know what? Buy it.
Yeah, it's yours.
So one of the great things about owning a hard copy, other than it's a hard copy, I'm not going to get into that digital versus, is you own it. It's part of your collection.
Right.
And Image has said, DRM free, here you go. You want to buy it, pick EPUB, CBR, I think Zip and Image, whatever. Right. It's yours, which I think is awesome. So they're launching all their comics going forward are going to be DRM free on their store. And then they're going to start going through back catalogs and re-releasing DRM free too. And they're pretty much talking about how, you know, everyone thinks digital sales are killing print, but it's the opposite. Digital sales are going strong, and it's increasing the sales of, you know, printed books.
Sure.
And everyone thinks, you know, digital music is going to kill the sale of the music industry. Things change, and Image wants to be at the forefront of that, and I think it's awesome.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think it's cool that you can now own the digital copy of the book. I wish they would bundle them for like a buck extra, get the digital and have the physical.
Right.
But I think Image is doing a really smart thing that's going to be a good service for all the people who
collect. Well, you know, it's weird because like Marvel and DC do that now. So, for example, Justice League 22 came out this week, right?
Yeah.
For $3.99, you get the regular issue. For $4.99, you get the regular issue and a download code for the digital issue.
Okay.
They do that with some of their major titles.
But the digital issue isn't owning it.
Right. It's just available on the DC Comics app or whatever it is. And if the cloud goes down or the network goes down or whatever it is.
Either way, the licensing is no, it's not yours.
Right.
And I'd rather have that book. And I think a lot of collectors would want to rather have it. And it's nice that Image is doing that.
Absolutely.
It's a
good
deal.
I agree.
Right on.
All right. With that, I think we should probably take our first break.
Yes. OG and Scapegoat. Let's take our first break on this too darn hot episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff, number 296.
On the road to 300.
Hey, this is Judah Friedlander, the world champion from 30 Rock and Stand Up, and you are listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff, because you're a winner.
And we are back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 296, Too Darn Hot.
2013
edition.
Too Darn Hot 2013.
Yes.
Part one.
Yeah, part one, because we know.
No, we should add that to the official title. So in case, you know.
There is a part two and three.
In August.
Right.
Fourth
thought. It's 140 degrees in this room.
Boom.
Suburban, you know, vinyl.
I don't really think we should be recording in your personal sauna, OG.
I'm at least
pour water on those rocks.
At least it's not a steam room.
I would happily install AC if you want to hear underneath the entire audio track.
I'm just saying you could like duct, you know, like you could get an air conditioner and like a duct hose.
You know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna
just
like,
cool the room to like 30 degrees before the show.
I'm gonna do like oldie fashioned. I'm gonna get a big box fan with a big block of ice in front.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then we can chip it off and have like lemonade while I'm in.
It's multi purpose.
I want a mint
there
julep.
You go.
All
right. A mojito. We record.
No, you don't want me to have enough mojitos while we record. I've given up drinking while doing the show. That happened in the past quite often.
So
I drink sometimes when I edit.
So 300.
Yeah.
I see.
All right, Suburban Vinyl.
He's an alter ego.
Tell me about Suburban Vinyl.
SuburbanVinyl.com, a proud sponsor of this program now.
With
has
Blink.
A coupon code.
Yeah.
That's right. Friend of the show, Blink, now manager of Suburban Vinyl. And good things coming from them.
Congratulations.
Yes, good things coming from them. So now if you go over to SuburbanVinyl.com and you make a purchase and you use coupon code BIGKEV,
yep.
You would get 10% off your entire purchase.
That's not bad.
Wow.
That is
really
not bad.
So we encourage all of you to check out Suburban Vinyl. They are a great sponsor of the show.
Yeah.
They are a great show in general, a great shop in general, local shop. If you're in New Jersey, you should go check out the brick and mortar storefront.
However, you do not use the coupon code at the register.
No, you do not use the coupon code at the register.
Blinky will not have that.
But we should also mention that on July 27th, they have another show coming up. It's Matt A. The name of the show is Colorblind. We don't have any teaser images yet for Matt A's work, but
okay. For
those of you familiar, I think that you, Big Kev, would likely enjoy the stuff that he produces. I'll let you look it up. But check out Suburban Vinyl. Stay tuned to the website and to the show for more details on the show, on the upcoming Matt A. Colorblind show, July 27th.
Cool.
And thank you, Suburban Vinyl. And use coupon code Big Kev.
Big Kev is the coupon code for most of these places.
Absolutely.
Nice.
It's a trend.
Geek stuff. Comics, books, and graphic novels.
Comics?
Yes.
Tell me about them.
We got a few.
I have a handful.
Now, I don't know. Again, my books are mixed up.
Right.
From last week and this week. Or wait, no.
No, you did a show.
Yeah,
oh, no, you
did.
Didn't do a show last week. You did not do a show last week.
No, it was the week before that.
But last week's releases were significantly reduced, weren't they, because of the holiday?
I think so, yeah. But I don't recall. So I don't know. I'm going to just tell you what I got the last
in general.
Time I went to
the
shop. I picked up Mark Waid's Green Hornet number 3.
Yeah.
Now, here's what I've come to the conclusion of. I don't need to be buying single issues of this book.
Oh, good for you.
Don't get me wrong. This book is much better than the Green Hornet book. It's now called Green Hornet. I think it's called Green Hornet Legacy or something like that. They changed the title.
It's called Green Hornet. Still not canceled.
Yeah,
Green
exactly.
Hornet hanging on.
This one, however, the Mark Waid one, is excellent. It's a period piece. It's in the proper period and so on and so forth. And it really looks good. The art's really good. The story is really good.
If Green Hornet can do it, so can you.
Wow.
Wow, really?
Inspirational posters featuring
Martin
Green Hornet. Green Hornet hanging from a little clothesline. Hanging there.
Really? Instead of a kitten, just replace it with Green Hornet.
Yeah.
No, gee, I'm hoping you can help me out with this.
Wow.
Sure.
Guardians of the Galaxy, Tomorrow's Avengers, number 1.
I have no idea what that is.
I don't either, but it was $4.99.
So there's a pretty big Guardians of the Galaxy spin-off event coming up called Infinity.
That's not from DC at all.
Well, I mean, it's probably closer to the Infinity Gauntlet. DC is Trinity.
Touche. No, I didn't forget. I'm just saying.
Yes.
Like the word infinite.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Infinite. Yeah. So, so I think this might be like another lead up to that, to the Infinity event.
Okay.
I think. I don't know for sure.
I'm not sure what these stories are.
But
I'm not sure what this book is.
I should also say that Iron Man has been a staple in the Guardians book since issue 1 now.
Uh-huh.
And in the most recent issue of the book, Iron Man finally has a little bit of contacty available and tries to call out to the Avengers for help. So, you know, in dealing with the shite that's going
down. Well,
I know
Neil Gaiman is writing issue 5.
Yeah.
So they're doing a lot of promotion of that. Batman Detective Comics number 22.
Are you reading that regularly?
I'm a few issues behind, but I can tell you from this cover, I'm going to be catching up.
Okay, so Batman Detective Comics number 21 and number 20, 1918, was a Mad Hatter storyline.
Okay. Oh, yeah, that ended, right?
Wow. The ending of that story?
Good?
Yeah.
No spoilers.
No. Let's just say the Mad Hatter might have needed a slightly smaller hat. Perhaps one that just fit on a neck stump.
Wow.
Yeah,
it was close.
Hey, no spoilers, but here's a spoiler.
That's not really a spoiler.
Is it? Isn't it, though?
No.
Isn't it?
You can infer a spoiler.
You're
never going to read it.
You're going to piss off a couple people
there. You're never
going to
read it.
I was going to.
John, you don't need to now. John Layman and Jason Fabok.
You know those little neckerchiefs that just kind of keep going around your neck and keep you cold? Yeah, that might work as a hat.
You mean like Fred from Scooby-Doo?
Yeah.
And Ascot?
Fred.
So the point being is that at the end of that issue, Batman is really upset.
Oh, really?
Which I believe leads into this issue.
I see. Well, that cover is really spectacular.
All I can say is there's a lot of rain.
Yes.
In
this issue. Always. It rains in Gotham more than Seattle.
Batman is a sad panda.
Batman Incorporated number 12.
Yes.
I think this is going to be the beginning of the end of this current arc.
I think that book is ending, isn't it?
Is the book ending?
I think that book
Grant
is
Morrison
ending.
Is writing it and yeah, it's ending?
I think that book might be ending. I could be wrong, but I think that book is coming to an end.
Okay, that could be. I haven't heard that, but all right.
Is that What Me Daredevil? It looks like Alfred E. Newman on the cover.
It's the regrettable Daredevil number 28.
Right, okay.
I say this every month. This book, I've been reading this book since I was 9. Everybody knows this that listens to this show. I'm telling you, man, it's just over. I don't understand what they're doing.
Right.
Like, let's, like, kill them.
Yeah, or
something. You know, I don't get it. The book's terrible. Batman Lil Gotham number 4.
Aw.
You guys should definitely be checking this out.
Dustin
Nguyen.
Yep.
And Derek Frittlps are taking care of the honors on this. It's a cute little cartoony Batman universe book. It's kind of like, what was it? Little Titans or Tiny Titans.
Tiny Titans.
Yeah, it's kind of like that. The brand new OG, I know you're looking forward to this. Batman number 22, Scott Snyder, Greg Capullo, and Danny Mickey.
And this is part of the Batman
Year Zero
event. Yeah.
So you should definitely check that out as well. We're going to get some more Batman origin stuff. The origin is getting longer and longer.
And more complex.
Yeah, year 0.
I'm okay with it.
Year 1.
I'm all right with it.
I'm all fine.
Year half.
Batman.
That's 6 months.
Spermatozoa.
And I know that exactly.
Triassic era Batman.
Batman moment 1.
Yeah.
Batman fertilization.
Zygote.
We should totally
it
do
also
that.
Involves Batman. The Kents at a movie theater, only this time.
Batman zygote.
Only one of them shoots. Or gets shot, rather.
Wow.
One shot first.
Yes.
Always.
Yes. So, and I know that new Superman Unbound, is that what it was?
Unchained. Yeah, I decided. So
Scott
I went.
Scott Snyder and our friend of this right. program, Jim Lee.
So while I was doing a lot of work in my house a couple weeks back, I got hit in the head with a window.
Uh-huh.
And
you woke up and said, I'm going to read a Superman.
No, actually, I woke up and said, I'm cutting out about 15 books. So I just dumped a bunch of Marvel books and
wow,
Superman
really?
Unchained. But yeah, I'm back down to normal reading levels again.
What did you dump?
Superman
Unchained. Superman
Unchained, Avengers, New Avengers, X-Men Legacy I dumped. New X-Men I'm still reading.
Still trying to figure out how this window is relevant.
Well, because the bump on my head knocked some
head.
Sense into me.
Yeah.
Really? I don't know.
Didn't pick that up.
A couple
no,
other
I understand
things.
That.
A couple
just,
other
huh.
things.
I thought there would be other more.
I dropped the Thanos book. That was shite. Before you jump into those,
yeah.
Green Arrow 22 out this week, continuing that great new storyline with Jeff Lemire writing.
Okay.
Superior Spider-Man 13.
Did he get the arrow guns back yet?
No, he's not getting the arrow guns
okay,
back.
I'm just
ever. Ever. And I hope they never put out a figure representation of it.
I'm just saying.
Because then I have to actually have it. And I
know.
Want to.
I know. By the way, that display here in Studio Q.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah, it's nice. I was a little.
Got a little stepping in there.
Yeah, I got to get some stepping in there. And I realized a couple of holes that I need to fill last night. So, Mego, Super Friends.
Yeah.
I'm missing. A couple of smaller scale figures.
Not Super Friends. It Mego. You're talking about the Mego.
Right. I have the Mego Repro.
Right.
But I don't have the
original. You're talking about not Super Friends.
Yeah, it was the blue card with the yellow.
Superpowers.
Superpowers. Yeah. Sorry, yes.
In the mid to late 80s.
I don't have that one.
Yeah.
I even have the shitty Total Justice green with the gas mask.
Yeah.
Although I didn't put the gas mask on.
I think I might have a Superpowers one for you. Yeah. I know I had some stuff for you. I just keep forgetting to give it to you. So some of your holes might be filled already and you don't even know.
It sounds dirty.
Yeah. Yeah.
Keep going.
In trades this week, I picked up Star Wars Purge.
I don't know what that is, but this Vader's was, on the cover.
Well, I'll give you a little lesson then.
From the back.
The Terror of the Galaxy, Darth Vader brings death to the Jedi who survived Order 66. His legend grows as he roots out Jedi, crushing their lives, their hopes, and all memory of their kind from the civilizations that now bow to the Emperor.
Next.
Well, it's actually a pretty good book.
Okay.
It's Vader going around hunting Jedi. I mean, that's like...
I'm down.
The art's really nice. Writing's pretty good. This one I know you're going to get.
If
you haven't got it already, I'd be surprised. This is our friend of the show, Mike Oeming's Victories.
It's on my list.
Yeah.
It's on my list.
Volume 1. So this is kind of from the creator of Powers, which I think is funny because he's created a billion things, but Powers, I guess...
Powers is the biggest.
It is. I love that book, by the way.
I know, it's a great
book. I still think it's great. This is a much more adult-ish version
of
a superhero story.
Oh, I was going to say, don't say of the Powers, because I'm pretty positive in like one of the first panels of the Powers.
Yeah.
There's a Neanderthal couple fucking by a riverbank. So I don't think it gets much more.
This is... Yeah, I don't want to say...
You know, that's not Kitty.
I don't want to draw you into this book by... It's somewhat controversial in nature.
Right.
I want to say that
it's awesome.
It's Mike Oeming. It's really amazing art, like it always is with Mike Oeming. And it's really...
He's writing it as well?
He's writing it both? As well, yeah. I think. Let me double check that. But yeah, I think so.
Mice Templar, he does both as well, correct?
No, I don't think he writes it.
Oh, okay.
He's story and art, Mike Oeming, colors by Nick Filardi, and the letters is Aaron Walker.
Okay.
Dark Horse puts this out, volume 1, gonna run you $9.99.
Oh, that's not a bad price for a trade.
The Purge gonna run you $17.99.
Nice.
So check that out. Was I wrong about that price? No, it's $9.99. Yeah. It seems like it should be.
Now these next two I'm surprised you got.
Why? I got the other two.
Oh, I didn't think you were getting those.
Didn't I talk about these on the show?
Maybe,
last week?
I forgot.
Was this last week we did?
Yes, it was. Oh, well, 2 weeks ago, the last show.
The last show, right. These are the other volumes of Before Watchmen. This is Night Owl and Dr. Manhattan, collected in one book.
Right.
And then Comedian and Rorschach, collected
in one book. It sucks, because I think I would like to read Rorschach, and I think I would like to read Night Owl, but I don't care about Comedian or Dr. Manhattan.
Well, they're $30 a pop. They're slightly oversized hardcovers.
They're slightly overpriced.
I don't disagree with that. But that said, I said this is what I was going to... I knew they were going to put out a hard version of it. I think it's going to look very nice on my
personal opinion,
shelf.
That scale, even with the hardcover, that scale, that size, number of pages, 25 would have been a bit more appropriate.
I don't disagree. But, you know, they got the Watchmen name.
Yeah, I understand.
They're just...
Yeah, they're paying out more for it.
They're not paying out more for it.
All right.
And then lastly, of course, we opened the show today with a performed excerpt of
if you
our
want to
next
call it
book.
That.
William
sure.
Shakespeare's Star Wars by Ian Doucher. No, that can't be how that's said.
How is it spelled?
D-O-E-S-C-H-E-R.
Douche, maybe?
Douche.
If it's phonetic, it's like Doucher. Doucher.
Maybe it's Doucher.
Ian Doucher. I don't know.
I'm thinking it's not Doucher.
And it says, verily, a new hope at
I have
the
a
bottom.
Package here for Mr. Asswipe. That's as we pay.
And this is exactly what it sounds like. This cat wrote rewrote Star Wars in the language of Shakespeare. Again, you heard us performing some of it earlier. It's a great little book. It's got tons of, it's got a few really, really interesting illustrations that kind of suppose Star Wars characters in a Shakespearean setting.
Right.
So the illustrations. They also have little ships on sticks as if you would be performing them like puppets. Somebody's going to do this.
Man playing Leia?
Every college in the area is going to have, you know, student-run production of...
Oh, absolutely.
Yep. Shakespeare, Star Wars.
I could tell you for a fact that I was involved in a staged performance of the radio dramas.
That's true.
I was a Foley sound effect artist.
There you go.
For the...
the radio dramas.
For the radio dramas.
That's so true, I remember that.
This is only the next step.
This is going to...
That actually was a lot of fun.
It was.
That was a fun production, despite the people involved.
Yeah. This is going to run you $14.95. It's great. It's from... Let's see here. Quirk Books.
Oh, is that Quirk?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm emailing that. Yeah, Quirk. Quirk used to send us stuff, as a matter of fact.
Really?
Yeah, they did that Star Trek zombie book. Oh, we gave her like 3 copies of it on the show. Yeah.
Oh, we should.
And they've done a bunch of fun things.
Hey, we'd love to give away a couple of these.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll reach out to my contact.
May the verse be with you.
I'll reach out to my contact at Quirk.
That's cute.
And see if we can get a couple of copies.
Yeah, get a couple to give away. I think everybody, if you're a fan of Star Wars or Shakespeare or that sort of thing, you're really going to dig this.
Star Trek: The Undead, wasn't that the book or something like that?
Something like that, yeah. I remember. What is that strange thing that
for our next segment.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
Oh, well, we're done with this segment.
Yes.
Geek Stuff. Product reviews.
Product.
Uh-huh.
This is a product, so stuff. Technically
I just don't know. I don't know what that is.
It's a DVD.
We'll tell you all
what
about
it. What is a DVD?
Is it a little disc?
Oh, you.
With some lasers?
So...
You get stuff off the disc.
While I cannot reveal my source,
through
a ubiquitous clandestine friend of the show.
Edward Snowden.
Edward Snowden. I did come into possession of a bunch of BBC DVDs, stuff that I wanted to check out and stuff like that. But the most exciting in the lot, only because it's not technically out yet, is the Orphan Black disc.
Right.
I disagree with you.
Why?
I disagree that it is the most exciting one in the lot.
Okay.
I saw the lot.
Okay.
And I have to tell you, I'm speaking directly to the ubiquitous clandestine provider of these.
Yes.
We would love to be giving some of these away.
Okay.
I'm just saying. I'm putting it out there.
I hear you.
Because I think they would be great prizes. There are some fabulous shows amongst that collection that I think...
Absolutely.
We've spoken about every one of them. Absolutely. And I think it would be awesome if we were able to give some away.
Absolutely.
And we have definitely spoken about Orphan Black. I'm telling everybody to watch the show. Seriously.
We have definitely spoken about Orphan
Black. Really well done.
And so we have the DVD here.
Can I borrow that?
You can borrow it.
To watch?
But not right away. Okay. My wife has to catch up first.
Okay,
and then it's yours.
Fair enough?
Yeah, a couple weeks.
Cool.
So this is a 3-disc set. Now, this is the DVD. It's not the Blu-ray version. They're both coming out next week.
All right.
So I don't know if the Blu-ray is also 3 discs. It might.
We would really love to give away the Blu-ray versions of some of these programs. But we're not. I'm just saying, we would give away anything.
Special features.
I just want people to see it in the best quality possible.
That's absolutely.
Because of how much quality.
I'm sure that the DVD version on any good Blu-ray player is epic.
Probably true.
So, special features include an interview with Tatiana Maslany.
She's amazing.
A set tour that was shown on the Nerdist. Now, if you guys didn't see that set tour, it was hosted by the gentleman who plays Felix on the show, whose name is eluding me right now.
Yeah.
But he did a pretty cool tour of a bunch of stuff on the set that was really cool. It also sent a special featurette called Send in the Clones and some other insider vignettes. It's 450 minutes total.
Wow.
Nice. And... if you haven't seen this show, if you were like, or perhaps even if you watched the first 2 episodes and were like, I don't know if it's for me, go back and watch it.
Yeah, really.
It's quite possibly the best new sci-fi show in, I can't tell
whoa,
you
whoa,
how
whoa.
Long.
Better than Defiance?
Way better than Defiance. But, and I like Defiance, but this makes Defiance look like
I don't. And that
nonsense.
Is amazing. And Orphan Black is amazing.
Yeah. Or it's an amazing show. And,
it really
and,
is.
And Tatiana Maslany
she's ridiculous.
Deserves every bit of award, praise.
Can I hug
and a handshake?
Are you allowed to win multiple Emmys or Globes for playing different characters?
She should be.
Like, can you do that?
No, but there are...
Because then... Because then Eddie Murphy would have yeah. won every Razzle.
Mm-hmm. Can I?
Yeah.
Razzie. Sorry.
Yeah. That's like not true. Candy. Some of those characters are funny. Anyway, he would have won it for Norbit.
Oh, God.
So you guys are really hot on this show, and I need a gauge as to where this is at. So I'm going to pitch this out. I can't pitch it to you, OG, because you haven't watched or you're not caught up. But I can pitch it to you, Scapegoat, because you're caught up.
Yep.
Better or as good as Falling Skies?
It's a very different show.
I was going to say, it's got to be different.
It's a very different show. Falling Skies is a big sci-fi, epic, you know, kind of thing where you care about the characters, but it's really this whole universe.
Which, by the way, if you haven't been watching...
You should watch that.
Yeah, holy crap.
I've never seen an episode of Falling Skies.
This season is amazing.
Orphan Black is a really intimate, well-done show that you can see has the potential to open up into a whole kind of, you know, it's more heartfelt in a way, I want
to
say.
I have a gun to your head. You need to pick one over the other.
Orphan Black just had one season, though.
Click. There goes the first chamber.
Is this Russian roulette?
Click. There goes the second chamber.
I have to pick one?
Click. There goes Orphan Black.
Orphan Black.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, now I really got to check.
Can I get the Blu-ray? No, but seriously, it's a really amazing show, and I'm going to watch it again, I think, all the way through.
I'm excited that my wife has to catch up on it, because it'll give me a good excuse to sit down and watch it with her. Yeah.
I just need to say that there were no actual bullets in this gun.
Oh, good.
Great.
Just saying.
So,
for no reason.
So check this out next week. Buy it through our Amazon link.
Yeah, do it. Do that.
I will post a link to it on the website.
Yep.
Speaking of the Amazon link, please continue to use the Amazon link.
Do it.
Please continue. It really does help the show.
Yep.
It's a tremendous support to us.
And it helps you get...
could help the show get an air conditioner. Yeah. That would be
and it could help you get your stuff, which it will. So
yeah, exactly.
Why not?
That's important.
Why not?
So moving on from a DVD and into some other product. Do you have product tonight?
I have Zip.
Okay, so then I'm saving product tonight for a couple of exclusives. San Diego exclusives. And I'm just focusing on...
We talked about a few last week.
Yeah, and we talked about a few the week before as well. Gentle Giant has put out a couple more, I think.
Holy crap. What is Gentle Giant?
The only company to beat Gentle Giant in total number of exclusives, I think, this year is DKE. DKE Toys is literally putting out like three a day at this point. It's almost impossible for me to keep up with them. I mean, it's all independent art related stuff, but it's some great stuff.
Right.
Did you see, probably not because it's on our own website. No, that's Monkey King.
Oh.
But Alex Purdy is an artist. He's a pretty popular artist, puts out some really awesome pieces. And he has this piece coming out called A Bunny With A Slave For... A bunny with an affinity for slave or for slave women, and it's like a bunny Jabba the Hutt looking figure. It's hilarious. Really? It's fantastic. Yeah,
and that's on our site.
Yeah, I've been posting it on our site. If you go to the DKE Toys post, you will see it there.
Scapegoat is attempting to do that.
But two things that I wanted to highlight tonight, and then we have two, possibly three, to highlight next week. Next week, I think actually we're going to have a couple of items in studio.
Whoa!
Ooh.
For San Diego.
Wow.
To talk about. So we'll talk about those next week. And we've actually talked about these two pieces already on the show.
Right.
It's the Mousketeer Army piece.
Saw that piece.
And
pretty awesome.
And the Bitacrita piece.
Yeah.
So we will have both of those next week.
Can we talk about some other news with regards to San Diego?
Sure.
Our friends Tonner.
Yes.
Not going to San Diego.
Yes, I heard that.
And number two, our friends Sideshow.
Yes.
I don't believe they're going to.
But they have like online exclusives.
They're doing online. Yeah. They have had orders every single day for new product.
I know.
But that's pretty significant, I have to
say. Oh, absolutely.
And I think it's a wise choice for a lot of reasons, because it costs a goddamn fortune to go there, number one. And number two, I just think that this whole exclusives thing over the last 10 years,
it's gotten
out of hand.
It's gotten bad.
I appreciate guys like Gentle Giant,
right,
who say, look, you join our premier guild, and you don't got to worry about going to San Diego. Hasbro doesn't have a premier guild.
I have noticed that a lot of people doing exclusives this year are either holding some back for online sales or splitting them out of the gate.
Listen, let's lay this out there. It's arguably true that Hasbro has fairly significant exclusives every year. Every single year, last year being one of the biggest examples, or the year before being one of the biggest examples with that Death Star
right
set. They cannot get it together and do it correctly online and so on and so forth. And as a result, there's pieces out there that collectors really need or want, and they can never, ever get them. I think it's wrong for them to do that. I think it's a disservice to collectors when they do shit like that. And I just have to say, every year I get a little more annoyed with this process. However, every year somebody like, I'll say it again, General Giant, comes along and says, we're going to do a shitload of exclusives. You're part of our premium. You be part of the Premier Guild, I think it's called, yeah. Right? Premier Guild, you pay like, I don't even know what the price is anymore. But you get to, there's three exclusives that they only sell to the Guild.
Right.
Not at San Diego or anything. Literally, they make just three the guild, pieces right? just for the Guild. You get one of those pieces for free.
Right.
That's your admittance fee. You get the opportunity to buy the other two. And if you're smart, you turn them around.
Sure, you flip them.
Right? That's number two. And then for the rest of the year, you get pre-orders before everybody else on everything else.
Absolutely. It's smart.
I think smart. If more companies did it smart like that, it would be better.
Absolutely.
The gold subscription.
Let's just talk about a couple of things real quick, though.
Yeah, sir.
Because we're running long, and it's hot in here.
It's too darn hot.
It's too darn hot. 3D well Retro. Put,
part one.
3D Retro. By the way, 3D Retro is the Masketeer Army and the
those pieces look really good.
3D Retro has something else that they just announced yesterday or today. It's a second colorway to the Bartholomew Punchy Face Scott Tolleson Luke Chu plush. This one, instead of kick me on the back, it says, what does it say? Wedgies are my besties. Right, and it's a slightly different colorway. It's like,
who's doing this one again?
It's 3D Retro, all
right,
and it's Scott Tolleson and Luke Chu are the artists involved. And then from October Toys, we have two OMFG sets.
Right,
they're both Series 2. It's an all yellow set, except that the Puke Knight comes with blue puke, and then an all blue set, except that the Puke Knight comes with yellow puke. Each set is $10 a piece. And then they have a mini beat, a baby Deadbeat set coming out for, I think it's $4, and you get two figures, one of each color, blue and yellow as
well. Cool.
So those are a couple more pieces I wanted to highlight. But really, in all honesty, if you want to know more about the San Diego exclusives in general, go to the website.
Because yeah, I'm posting on live. OG's a lot of good mad stuff. Posting. Yeah.
So just check them out. And I've got a better plan for how we're going to handle exclusives for New York Comic Con when it comes around. Oh, also look for tomorrow or Friday a teaser for our first New York Comic Con exclusive. That will be up on the website.
That reminds me, I got to reach out to that other person about another exclusive for San Diego.
So I think with that being said,
well, I hear the wrap up music.
I do hear the wrap up music. So before we get to the wrap up in its entirety, we should mention, of course, Superpower Collectibles.
Superpower Collectibles.
That's right. Superpowercollectibles.com for all of your geeky goodness.
Everything.
Lots of toys, comic books, statues, etc. And of course, there is a coupon code.
That was about
the
coupon. Surprisingly, it's Big Kev.
That's right. Big Kev gets you.
It gets you $10 off any $50 order.
That's right.
It also gets you free shipping on any order over $99.
Most orders.
Most items.
That's correct.
And $1,000 order, win a date with Scapegoat.
Yes, indeed.
Lovely. Lovely indeed.
We will rub your feet. And so that's Superpower Collectibles. There, have we done the sponsors?
We have covered our sponsors this week.
Superpowercollectibles.com. Don't you dare miss it.
Absolutely.
There you go.
And OG, I know you're going to be surprised to hear me say this, but it is too darn hot for us to do a full and complete wrap up.
That's right.
So why don't you just give us the plugs and let's get out of here.
Let's start out with the GVM line.
I was just going to say 425-920-6050. Leave us a message.
And you may hear yourself
on a future episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
Don't forget, also check us out online.
So cute the way you guys finish your lines.
Geekstuff.com. Oh, I have a toolbar that I created now that you can download if you want.
Uh-huh.
The toolbar, you know, it's just like any other toolbar in your browser. It gives you access to our Facebook page, our Twitter feed, our RSS feed for content, and our RSS feed for shows.
Wow.
All on a little toolbar. You can just click, boom, it's there.
Yeah, so check install that out. It on all of your friends' machines.
Please install it on everybody's machines.
So they're just like, what is this button? Oh, this is cool.
Boom. Yeah, exactly.
Easy.
You know what I like?
It's easy. You should put the Amazon link. Like
the link to it. Oh, the Amazon link is on there as well.
Boom.
Amazon affiliate link is on there as well.
Synergy.
And the link to get the toolbar is actually right next to the Amazon link at the header of the page. So look for it there. Download it.
Nice. I don't want to say where I work, but when I'm setting up people's machines.
You might do it there?
I like to make their homepage, BigKevGeekStuff.com.
That's good. Nice. That helps.
I've never done that.
Of course, don't forget to check us out on Twitter at GeekStuffOG and at PK Geekstuff. And of course, once in a while, Scapegoat feels like he wants to grace us with some text.
At ScapegoatGS. I'm there. I'm always listening.
He's always ready listening. To reply. He's never replying, but he's always listening.
No, I'll reply. I'm there.
Tweevies?
I didn't hear you, but what?
Of course, don't forget, you can check us out on at Facebook, facebook.com/BKGeekStuff.
Are we still on More Like Radio?
We are still on More Like Radio, so thank you for all of you who listen to us over there Tuesday nights at 5 p.m. over at More Like Radio.
Did you find out who we're behind or we're leading in for?
I did not.
Those poor suckers.
As well, of course, YouTube.com.
It's like you challenge me.
/BKGeekStuff.
You're afraid.
I don't know. There's no need for a radio.
You're afraid of a little radio war.
It's just silly.
I know. What? This is a funny program. What if there's a funny program before us and a funny program after us?
If it's on More Like Radio, it's likely that it's at least humorous.
That's what I'm saying.
So there you go. And I think that's it. I don't have anything else.
I don't got anything else.
Yeah. Nope.
I'll tell you what I have. The sweats.
There you go.
The big time. And the sun is gone. What the hell?
I know.
Isn't that the part of the universe that heats this rock?
No, because then the humidity kicks up and it just gets ugly.
I miss the 4 days of spring that we
Word.
Had.
OG, we will bring this episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff to a close by saying good night, Neil Gaiman, wherever you are.
And on that note, we cue the music.
Sure and high.